And coming to you live from the wonderful world of the shores of the Cuyahoga. Still working on my intro here. How's it going, everybody? Welcome to episode, what is this now? 164? Episode 164. Ladies and gentlemen, over the course of all these years, I have done 164 episodes of this podcast, even though we are still kind of getting back into the swing of things, because this is, you know, again, we're getting our feet under us. But speaking of getting our feet under us and speaking of returning after a very long break, I was very surprised that as soon as I went off the air last week, I immediately got a whole bunch of feedback from people about last week's episode. But I was very surprised that some of the things I talked about last week resonated so much with people. And I think it also led into some of the emailed questions that I got that we're going to cover later here in the show. But the feedbacks mostly that I got was people really identifying with the idea of the depression of what I went through over the past few years, and ultimately the thought process to wanting to stake my claim and take back what I've been wanting to do and set this up in my way. And for once in my life, not going off of the whims and the guidance of other people, but trying to find my own way. And I was surprised that that resonated with so many people that are out there. I mean, I've got like four or five messages, which for me is a lot. I don't usually get a lot of feedback after a stream or after a podcast. It's kind of unusual. So it was a very nice change of pace. Don't get me wrong. Usually I'll get emails later, but right afterwards, blowing me up on social media and things like that, very surprising. I think it's interesting how universal the story of depression and feeling like you're railroaded into following a certain track really resonates with people and how many people suffer from a very similar thing. And it's always surprising, like when I start working in the mental health field, one of the questions I get working as a mental health provider is how prevalent is something like sex abuse, for example? And my answer is shockingly common. You really would be surprised. And it's kind of the same thing with the depression and feeling like you're getting railroaded or feel like you're stuck living on by someone else's vision. Is apparently that's a very common feeling from a lot of people. And I think it's really cool that at least even in the paranormal field, you've got people that can talk about the mental health stuff and be able to understand that you're not alone and have similar feelings that go with that. And again, this is going to fall into one of the questions I'm going to answer later on, because I promise this will tie into the whole paranormal and horror world. There is a method to the madness, I promise. But I just wanted to say that for those of you that reached out and gave me a lot of feedback, I very much appreciate it. I try to respond to everybody personally if I can. I think at this point I got almost all of you. I think there's one of you I still got a message back. I promise that will come very shortly, probably tonight when I finish this episode. And I just want you guys to know that you're not alone. And I'm glad that you know that now I am in a very similar position and we're going to get through this together. So hang out with us, help build up this community as much as we can, and let's help each other out. And let's not only celebrate and explore and try to figure out what the world of the paranormal is and enjoy the world of horror in life and popular media, but let's also make sure that we have that community support, because we're all here for similar interests. So just want to throw that out there. Some things I want to cover as far as the business side goes, for those of you that like this content or you're interested in our ghost hunting videos, yes, it's actually how we got started on YouTube. We do a ghost hunting series where myself, Rex, and Andrew go out to various places and we do paranormal investigating. I know it's very popular on YouTube, but what the hell? We'll throw our hat into the ring and you'll have another one you can watch. But if you want to support the show, you can definitely follow us on YouTube at Ghost in the Studio Productions. You can also follow us on Twitter at the same handle, or Ghost in the Cast, I believe it is on Twitter. You can follow us on Facebook, Ghost in the Studio Productions. We're on Instagram. We have a TikTok now, even though I'm not really a big fan of TikTok, but I'm going to leave that to Rex's world. He can handle that. You can pretty much engage with us and watch our content wherever you want. So the goal, though, that we're shooting for right now, we actually have a campaign going where we're trying to raise funds to finance 12 new episodes of the show. To date, we have raised enough to cover our first two, and we are in the process of scheduling those for March. So we are working on that right now. We already have a location for April that we're not going to have to worry about paying for. So that is going to be a location. So we have a GoFundMe. So you can look for Ghost in Studio Productions. I will put the link in the description here a little bit later on. We also have a Patreon for those of you that want to go ahead and get free additional content. We have behind the scenes videos. We have additional content that we do just for Patreon subscribers. If you want to support us and you can support us financially and you like our content, please, by all means, those are two ways you could do it. You could also subscribe here on Twitch if you want to. That's fine as well. But if you don't want to support us that way, absolutely fine. I get it. A lot of people can't afford it. economy is what it is. Not going to get into the politics today. But you can also give us, support us just by giving us a like and a follow and a comment on the videos that you enjoy. So that way we go ahead and hit the algorithm and get this show content out there even more. So please give us your support, hang out, have a good time, help build the community, and let's make this show a lot of fun and make these ghost hunts a lot of fun. So now that we got that out of the way, for those of you wondering, we are going to be doing a live show every Thursday at 9 p.m. right here on Twitch. And I'm looking to simulcast also to Facebook and YouTube at the same time. I'm working on that behind the scenes right now, trying to figure that out. Mostly trying to figure out if I can actually get the software I want to use to work with it. Right now, it's been a little bit of an issue. Oh, shoot. Shoe Clear got killed by Wendigos in chat. Sorry, buddy. Them's the breaks. We have a little game here in the chat for the Twitch followers where they can try to do a heist and try to survive until dawn looking for the Necronomicon. And unfortunately, Wendigos every so often break in and kill you. But Shu, you can get lucky and John Wick can come to your rescue. You just have to keep playing. Hopefully you can win. For those of you that want to play in the game, you can go ahead and get points just by for every minute that you're in here listening to the show and engaging. You can put in exclamation point heist and then put however many points you want to bet, and you can try to win a whole bunch of extra points. If you want to know how many points you got, exclamation point points, and that will tell you how many you've got so you know how much you got to bet. Remember, for every minute, you're accumulating points, so stick around. Just try to hug the Wendigos. Sel Barton, how are you? I haven't seen you in a while. Hopefully life is treating you well. Shu is very well known for trying to hug monsters, so that's definitely a problem. Folks, we have a little rule here in chat. We actually have some commandments. Usually I do it during my game streams, but one of the rules is thou shalt not hug a monster. And if you type in exclamation point hug, you'll find out what happens if you hug a monster in my chat.
What happens if you become super friends with the monster forever?
So I'm not sure if you heard that, but Jen just came into the room saying that if you hug the monster, you'll become super friends with him forever. Don't listen to the lie. Don't fall for the lie, folks. It's a trap. It's a trap. Trust me. Do not hug the monster. It will not go well for you. I promise. I promise. We found this out from experience. Like the time when we were playing Emily Wants to Play, and I said, hey, look at that ghost girl. Let's charge after her. That did not work out well. If life were a horror story, we ghost hunters would not survive past the opening credits. So be careful. So far, so good. Glad to hear it. Glad to hear it. All right, so I also want to address something else at the top of the show here. And again, probably going to get into a rant here in a little bit if I don't get sidetracked right now. But I did get one piece of feedback that I was posting on Facebook that I was excited. We got our first piece of hate mail. Because I was always told, like, if you do anything in the show business field and you start getting hate mail, that means you've made it. It means your stuff has gotten out there enough that people are noticing you. And they're going to go ahead and give you a negative feedback because they're hating what you're doing. And that means you're doing something good. So after I got this one piece, I then discovered a second email that had much more pointed criticism that I want to get into. And I'm going to rant. I promise you I'm going to rant because it's not a question of the content that we make. It's a question of my character. And if there's one thing that is a hot topic with me, that if you want to see me pissed off, and I don't get pissed off very often, despite the rants that I do, usually those are done in jest and humor. It's questioned my character. I am a very big person on character. I have very strict standards of the people that I keep close to me in my life. I very much believe in honesty and loyalty. And when someone goes ahead and questions that, I have a serious problem. So I kind of want to rant about that now, but I also don't want to scare off anybody who's too new too soon yet. I kind of want to keep you around a little bit. See if you kind of like what I'm doing. See if you like fun Scott / Baron, because Baron's the online handle I've gone by, before I go ahead and scare you off with getting into my ranting and raving like a loon, because we'll definitely do that. Poor chop. I have a 15-year-old. I hug a monster every day. Very true. Very true. Teenagers can be difficult. My apologies to any teachers out there, but you know it's true. We all do. We were all teenagers once. We know how it goes. But the big topic I want to talk about first is I always get the question and the worries of what happens, or does a haunting ever follow you home? I've told people before, and I was explaining this in my last in the last episode about how I got into this whole podcasting and the paranormal. Again, how does a mental health professional get into the world of the paranormal? And I explain all that in detail. But I also want to say that I didn't grow up living in a haunted place. I didn't have any haunted experiences as a kid, but I have had some ever since I've been an adult. And I want to talk about those a little bit because I think this is going to help you guys with answer some of those questions that I always get about, do things follow you home? And if so, what's it like? And oh my God, I can never do this because something's going to follow me home. So We're going to jump back in the time machine here. We're going to go back to when I was 24 years old, which was a long time ago. We're not going to go ahead and do numbers because we all know how much I hate being pointed out that I'm old. But in any case, when I first moved out, I moved into an apartment with Jen, who is my current lovely wife, who used to do the show with me. And she'll be jumping in periodically to throw her comment at or jokes at us. So we moved in an apartment and things were going pretty well for a little while. Like nothing really seemed out of the normal. It was the first time I'd lived on my own outside of living in a dormitory when I was away at college. And then we went on a ghost hunt. And when I got back from said ghost hunt, things got a little awkward. Things got weird. I believe the ghost hunt I went to was at Prospect Place. We have a couple episodes on the YouTube channel from our adventures at Prospect Place. You can watch those if you want later. So I can't say it was anything specific that followed us home, but let me go ahead and tell you the story of what exactly happened. And this was the first of like several incidents we're going to talk about that happened in this apartment. So basically one night I was working a part-time job at the time. I was in graduate school working on my degree and Jen had to get up early and work. So she goes to sleep. So I'm wide awake. I'm in the living room. We had just done the ghost hunt the night before. So I started pulling out all my gear and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to start going through my evidence because I want to start cataloging what I got. I want to see what we got. And as I'm doing that, here's where shit gets weird. So it's probably 1 o'clock in the morning because I'm a night owl. I'm always up late. Anybody who knows me knows I've been a night owl my entire life. I get it from my parents. That's right, Mom, if you're watching, it's your fault. Sorry, I'm told it's like the in thing to do is to blame your parents for everything. I'm a therapist, so I know. In any case, so I'm sitting there and I start putting a mini DV into the cassette for the camera and I turn it on. And it's going to the TV, and all of a sudden I feel like, imagine a cold breeze that comes in the room up behind you. You can actually feel it moving. Now keep in mind, this is July, and we didn't have air conditioning. Now imagine somebody taking their arm and draping it around your shoulders like this, like they're putting their arm around you. And imagine this arm is made out of complete cold air, wrapping around your shoulders. And then you hear a female's voice at the tip of your ear going, "Hi." That's exactly what it was like. Dragged out for like a couple seconds, and I'm like a duck in a pond. Like outside I look like I'm calm and I'm all good, but beneath the surface my feet are like going like this. I'm like almost flipping a dick here because I'm freaking out. So I no sell it completely. I'm just, you know what, I'm just gonna put this tape in the thing here and I'm just gonna watch the video and I'm gonna pretend that I'm not shaking and I'm not gonna look out of the corner of my eye because I don't want to see if something's sitting right next to me right now watching this video with me. I don't know if I can handle that. So I no-sell it for like a good 2 or 3 minutes while I'm sitting on pins and needles waiting. Nothing happens. And then I finally start looking around the room and there's nothing there. That is the first time in my life I have ever actually had a paranormal experience firsthand. Now, I had recorded EVPs, which is the electronic voice phenomena, which are the voices that you get when you're, you know, doing, you know, ghost hunts that you don't hear at the time you record them, but they show up on your recorders or your cameras. I'd caught in a bunch of those. I had caught things sounding like they were moving in a room right next to where I was filming, but I never actually had a firsthand experience. That was my firsthand experience. And it freaked me the hell out because, again, I'm in my living room. I am not expecting this. I was not okay with this. So then fast forward to the next morning, and I tell Jen about it as she's getting ready to go to work. And at that point, I'm excited. Like, I'm no longer scared. Now I'm like a kid in a candy store, and I'm just geeking out. And then I go to leave to go to work later on in the afternoon, and there's a cleaning lady down at the end of the hall, and she's talking to a bunch of people that live in another apartment on the other side of the building, and she's telling them a story about how she knows this building is haunted. She's worked in this building since the 1970s, and that she has seen ghost people walking around. And I'm just sitting there, and I'm grinning. I'm not saying anything, and I'm just grinning as I'm getting on the elevator. I'm like, son of a bitch, what are the odds that this person is talking about this right as I'm coming out of my apartment? Because I didn't know who these people were. I didn't tell them. I wasn't going around advertising it because who the hell is going to believe me? At this point, I was worried that anyone's actually going to judge me if they knew I was into haunted stuff. Now I just don't give a shit. I mean, I'm 41 years old. What the hell do I got to lose at this point? So it felt nice the ghost wouldn't even want you. I don't know if she wanted me. I think it was more she wanted attention. Because if you think about, and I was thinking about this later because I was really dissecting this. I'm like, okay, so let's break down what something like this could mean. So it either means I brought something back from the location with me, or according to this lady and what she was saying, it sounds like something was already there. And when I was ghost hunting back in the day, I had like a DVR system. So I had all the cameras, I had the cords, I had the reels. We had to take a shopping cart because we lived up on the sixth floor. We had to take a shopping cart and load it up completely and take it down to the car in order to load up all the gear. We had talked about, you know, openly in the building being ghost hunters and being into this stuff. So it's very possible that something could have got wind of that and just happened to come to our apartment because it knew that we were open to it and either wanted to freak us out or just wanted to let us know what was there. In my experience, most spirit interactions I've had usually comes from the, or at least my assumption is it's coming from the perspective of whatever it is, just wants you to know that it's there. It just wants to communicate. Like, it's not trying to get something out of you in most cases. There are some exceptions, but in most cases, that's the feel I get. And I think that's what this female spirit, I'm assuming that's what it was, wanted. It wanted out of me because nothing ever happened after that to me directly. The rest of the story I'm going to tell you are things that happened to Jen. So the next incident that we had at the apartment is we used to have a kitty named Gizmo. He is deceased at this point, unfortunately. And it was weird because Jen and I were sitting on the couch and I think we were both reading. I don't think we were doing anything other than just reading. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Gizmo's hair ruffles back and he starts hissing and batting at the air. Like, he is fighting like another invisible cat. And he is like growling and hissing. And the only time I've ever seen him like that is when he goes to the vet and a vet tries to touch him. He has none of that. He's not taking any from a vet. This is what it looked like. Otherwise, he was a very, very loving, passive cat. Like, he didn't act out like that. It was like something invisible was attacking him and he was fighting it, which was really weird. Really, really, really weird. We weren't sure what that was all about. That was the second thing that happened. Then the third thing that happened, this one's really freaky. I still can't explain this one to this day. And this is the second time something like that had happened to Jen. I believe there's been three now, but this was the second. So I was working part-time at a GameStop in another town, probably 20 minutes to a half hour away. Because this was around 2008, 2007 when we hit the recession and jobs were hard to come by. And I'm in grad school. I just moved out and lost my job. So after 6 months of being an absolute schlub doing nothing, I decided to go and beg a friend for a job. And thankfully, he was nice enough to give me one because you couldn't find a job any other way. So I go out there and I'm working closing. And afterwards, me and the guys that I'm working with, because I was friends with the manager, we went to the local Applebee's afterwards, just kind of hang out and just kind of chat. Okay, no big deal. You know, I do that every so often. Message Jen, say, hey, this is what we're going to do. She said, great, have a good time, and went to bed. About 11 o'clock, 11:30, my phone starts blowing up with text messages and saying, oh my God, are you home? So I text her back. I'm like, no, I'm still at Applebee's with the guys. Like, we just got our food. We haven't been here that long. And she's like, you need to come home now. You need to come home like right this second now. Get here. I'm like, okay, what's going on? Are you okay? Are you okay? She goes, I'm safe right now, but you need to get home right now. So I'm panicking. So I flip money to my buddy Steve and I said, okay, I gotta go. I gotta get out of here. I gotta go. My wife is not okay. Something's wrong. So I go running out of the restaurant. And of course, it's a freaking blizzard outside. The roads are completely covered. There's no plows out because it's like 11:30 at night on like a Wednesday or a Thursday. So I jump in my car and I am trying hard not to go off the road as I'm trying to speed my way home. I come walking in the door and Jen immediately runs up to me and she goes like this. She's like poking at my chest. I'm like, what the hell are you doing? Why are you poking at me? She goes, you are not going to believe this. She goes, I just had to make sure it was you. And then she tells me one of the stories. This story just creeps me the f*** out. So what she said happened, and I don't know if she's overhearing this from the other room. She can come in and fill in the gaps if I miss anything. But from what I remember, she said that about 10 minutes before she messaged me, she was in the bedroom. She was reading a book, and the cat was in there with her. She hears the front door to the apartment open and close. She hears the door lock click. And then she hears my keys jingling and then falling to the dish next to the door, because that's what I usually did. That's where I kept my keys. She then sees me walk down the hallway of our apartment past the bedroom and into the bathroom. And she doesn't hear anything after that. She waits about 10 minutes. You guys can kind of know where I'm going with this already. She gets up out of bed. I'm getting goosebumps already. And she walks out to the hallway and she looks down at the bathroom and the bathroom door is wide open and the lights are off. Now, we're on the sixth floor. Our bathroom doesn't have a window. My office at the time was right next to our bedroom. So she looks in the bathroom, nobody there. She looks in my office, there's nobody there. The window's closed. So it's not like I went jumping out of a sixth floor window. I'm nowhere to be found. So she freaked out. She goes, Scott, I am not kidding you. I saw you walk right past the bedroom into the bathroom and you disappeared. So that's a doppelganger haunting. Now, I've talked to a shaman about this, a guy I used to work with, and he claims that he thinks it was a djinn. I don't know. I'm not as up to entities outside of like your typical spirits. I'll be the first to admit that's a gap in my knowledge base that I need to get better at. But that's what he thinks was happening. It was a djinn that was trying to send a message. Now, in other paranormal lore, if you come across your doppelganger, an entity that pretty much takes your shape and form, and you come face to face with it, it's an omen that you're about to die. So everything that you look at as far as lores go for doppelgangers, that's what you're up against, the possibility that could kill you. And Waverly Sanitarium is known for having a doppelganger that runs around. If you ever watch those paranormal shows, one of their tour guides talks about having one of him that walks around. So that was the third thing. And now here comes the fourth thing. So probably about 2 or 3 months later, I'm out in the living room and I forget what I'm doing. And Jen wakes up screaming from the bedroom. Now, this is not something that happens with Jen very often. She doesn't usually wake up screaming. So I go running into the bathroom and she's sleeping, but she's like thrashing around and she's getting ready to fall out of bed. So I grab her to keep her from falling out of bed and hold her still. And she opens up her eyes, says, "Oh my God, there is a face floating above me." And I'm like, "Well, Jen, no, it's me. She goes, "No, it's an Indian." And then she's out again. She's sleeping. When she woke up the next morning, she had no memory of this whatsoever. When she went back to sleep, she was calm. So I just kind of let it go. But I definitely stayed in the bedroom for a while and just kind of watching to make sure things were okay. And that was the first time I ever cussed out a ghost. Now, could she have been dreaming something? Sure. Like, I'm not going to pretend like I know the ins and outs of what was going on. But we had had enough weird things happening that at that point I was willing to say, "Look, if you're f***ing with my wife, we're going to have a problem. I have no problem with you being here. But if you're going to mess with my cat, if you're going to scare the hell out of my wife, we're going to have a problem." And I have no bones of going to a priest or whatever and getting an exorcism done. Because I was probably in the paranormal field for only really a few years at this point, like doing it actively. I mean, other than just going to the occasional cemetery and walking around with a camera. Like actually doing investigations. It was probably only a few years in at this point. So I didn't have the confidence that I can get rid of a haunting on my own, but I knew people who could. After that, things seemed to calm down. So then Jen and I bought our house, the house that we currently live at. Our house had had one previous owner. Both of them were still alive when we bought the house, but the husband had really bad dementia and was not doing well. He was going into assisted living, and the wife was definitely not doing so hot either. That was probably about 10 years ago. I have no idea at this point, like, whatever happened to her, but I know he passed away shortly after they moved out of the house. So we didn't think much of it. Our house was a fixer-upper. We had to do a lot of work when we bought it because it was in terrible condition in a lot of ways that we didn't realize after we bought it. Our guy who did the inspection was not great. But in any case, because no one necessarily cares about those details. So we started remodeling the downstairs bathroom. I'm pointing as if you guys can see it. It's literally out this door and right down the hallway. We start remodeling. It's this little tiny room. It's essentially like a closet. It's got a toilet and a sink, and that's pretty much it. So we ripped all of it out. We had to replace the subflooring because, unfortunately, Mr. Dementia had a very hard time hitting the toilet. You know, he had aim like a stormtrooper. So we had to redo the walls. We had to seal the walls, repaint them. It was a whole shebang. But Jen and I both had two different experiences, and we experienced the same thing on the same day without each other knowing about it because we weren't at home at the same time until later. I go walking by that bathroom, and as I'm passing by the door, there's no windows. This is like in the interior of the house. As I'm passing by the door, there is about a 6.5-foot tall man standing in my doorway. Now, the guy who had dementia who lived here was not that tall, but he also was very hunched over. He was very elderly. He was not in good shape. So I don't know if this was him or somebody else, but this dude was definitely at least 6'1", 6'2", and was standing there in the doorway just staring at me. And I flip around like this because I think this is somebody in my house. So, of course, I'm posting up like I'm going to fight this dude. Like, this guy's not going to wipe the floor with my spongy ass. And the room's empty. There's nobody there. So, of course, I search the house from top to bottom. I'm the only one home other than the cats. And there's nobody here. So I leave. I think I was going to work at the time. Jen comes home. And I left her a note on the kitchen table. But before she saw the note, she walked by in that same experience in that same bathroom. And the way she described the guy was the same way that I described him. Because I didn't write down my description. I just said, "Hey, I thought I saw somebody standing in our bathroom. Is our house haunted?" ? And then literally when I came home, she saw the same thing and described the same thing I saw. So we always refer to him as the ghost and the pisser, because that's kind of like our joke for it. The other thing that happens a lot, and this was actually happening the other day when I was rendering the latest episode for a ghost hunt video that we're going to put together at the Beale Manor that we did over the summer that I finally got around to finishing. And I started smelling cigarettes. My wife and I don't smoke. We are not smokers. I was a smoker a long time ago, not a smoker now. Haven't been a smoker in long before we moved into this house. But I'm sitting here at the computer, and I'm rendering video, and I'm just watching something on Netflix, and I just start getting the whiff of cigarettes. And it's getting stronger and stronger and stronger. So I start looking around. I'm like, what the hell is that? I even went into the other room because I was about to ask Jen, hey, did you suddenly take up smoking? And if so, why are you doing it in the house? And she's conked out on the couch. She's sleeping. Of course, the cats are in their room sleeping with her, and they're not paying attention to anything. So I was like, well, that's weird. And it was centralized just in this area right here, right around my desk. So something was hanging out and just was very curious about whatever I was doing, probably. But we've had that period, we've had that happen in different spots around the home over the last 10 years. You get it really concentrated in one spot, and then after a few minutes, it goes away. Like whatever it is just gets up and takes off and goes off to God knows where. So that's kind of weird. Not really a pleasurable, not really a pleasant smell, but not surprising. So then there's a day where I'm home alone. And I'm standing in the kitchen, which is right on the other side of this wall behind this monitor. And I'm doing the dishes. And there's a window right in front of where I do the dishes. And I can see the reflection of the room behind me. And when I'm standing at the dish sink here doing dishes, there's a doorway here that leads to the dining room. There's a doorway here that leads to my office. And a doorway here that leads to the hallway down to the front door and staircase going up to the second floor. And I'm doing the dishes, and I'm playing some music on my phone, and I'm, you know, fat guy dancing to the music. Yes. Yeah. I fully admit, self-disclosure here, I was fat guy dancing and having a good time because you got to make dishes fun. And I'm singing, and all of a sudden I look up, and I see this woman who's probably about 5'3", 5'4", standing in the doorway, long black hair, wearing some kind of white outfit that I couldn't really make out. But her hair was like down like this. You can only see like the outline of her face. Like the middle part of her face, like around her eyes, because her cheeks and everything was covered by her hair. And I thought it was Jen, because Jen's about 5'2", 5'3". She's got dark hair that she wears down quite a bit. She has outfits that look similar to what I was seeing. So I turn around and say, hey, honey, welcome home. And of course, there's nobody there. So I immediately shut off the sink and I walk to the garage, look out and see if her car's there, and her car's not there. Go out to the front, to the front door, look out, no cars in the driveway. So it is not Jen. Jen is not home. She's still off wherever. So now I'm a little creeped out, and you know, I don't like the fact that something's coming up on my back. I don't like having my back to doors and rooms and things like that, which is kind of ironic because I'm doing it right now with here, but that's because I have the only door over here is, you know, right next to my desk, so I can see if anybody's coming in and coming out. So that was really weird. I wasn't expecting that. And again, it's not like I'm terrified. I'm not scared to be in my house alone, but it just takes you by surprise because you're not expecting it. So then let's fast forward to a few nights ago. So we've had little things like this going on for a while and footsteps here and there. We hear voices out in our garage, like two people having a conversation in the middle of the night. You go out there and there's nobody there. And we have a big glass window in our garage so you can actually look out and see if there's anybody outside. There's never been anybody outside. Our cats will go to the garage door and scream to go out because they can hear people talking. It also happens in the middle of the afternoon. And it's like, clearly it's like, I can sit here and make out everything that they're saying. Like it's that clear. If it was somebody outside talking, it'd be down by the sidewalk. There's no way I'd hear that. But what was really strange is after our Hotel Conneaut episode, we did two episodes now at the Hotel Conneaut. The second one just posted up on YouTube just a few days ago. Go check it out. It's a very good episode. If I say so myself, not that I'm biased or anything. But after the first time we went, I messaged Rex and said, hey, I've been having some weird happen at my house since we were there. Have you noticed anything weird? And he's like, you know, funny you mention it. Yes, I have. He goes, I've been having some experiences since we left Conneaut as well. So the things that have been happening here since we went to the Hotel Conneaut is the footsteps and the noises and the random cold spots are picking up. They're happening more often. And like that feeling of, you know, there's something in the room with you. It doesn't feel threatening. Doesn't feel scary. But it's definitely letting you know it's there. So let's fast forward to a couple nights ago. No, actually, at this point, it would have been right after last week's show. So probably almost a week ago. I'm down here doing like editing a video. I've got the cats laying in here with me. I hear this loud bam and the house literally shakes. The house is shaking. It's like 12:30 in the morning. I get up and I go running upstairs. I hear Jen sleepily saying, what the hell is going on? And our closet is like the kind that you pull out and it slides, it's like on the track where it slides out. So something had opened up her closet door, taken a box, probably a little bit bigger than the size of a shoebox, and threw it out of her closet in the middle of the floor. And it just so happened the things that were in that box were like metal, like metal pieces of jewelry or like little beads or something that would make a lot of noise if you like shook it. And it had been on the top shelf of the closet. So something had gone in, opened up the closet door, pulled out the box and threw it on the floor while she was sleeping and I was down here hanging out with the cats. That freaked us out because, again, that was in the middle of the night. So that's yet another time where I went and cursed out a ghost and said, that's ridiculous. You're not doing that in my house, not in the middle of the night. Things have calmed down since then. So that was the most recent thing that has happened in our house. What was the other one that Jen had? There was another one that happened a few nights ago or that happened right before that. So she has like a really nice artistic tablet where you can draw pictures and things like that. She uses it for work. And she has a very nice, very expensive stylus that goes with this thing. The stylus just up and disappeared. So Jen and I pull her entire room apart looking for this goddamn stylus. Nowhere to be found. We probably spent like a good half hour looking for this thing. We come downstairs and we're sitting at the kitchen table. It's like, what the hell is going on? We hear a thump upstairs. So we go back up thinking the cats are getting into something. And that stylus is now sitting in the middle of the bookshelf in her office, sitting out in plain, clear, plain sight. A spot that we looked over at least three or four times. It's like, you mother stealing my and hiding it. Our ghost that lives here does that crap all the time. I cannot tell you how many little things disappear off my desk, even when I'm home alone. I go into the room, come back, and then here it is sitting right in the middle of my desk. Like, ha-ha, here it is, sucker. It's like, you pranksting little bastard. Leave my shit alone. So, of course, then I yell at the ghost again. I'm sure it enjoys that to some level. So I think whatever's here is definitely playful. Again, I don't get the sense that there's like anything here that has any particular malice. But it's just these weird things that keep happening. And this is weird because I never grew up in a house like that. I've never had the experience of living in a haunted place before. So did these things come home with me? I don't know, because to me, it seems like this thing was here from the very get-go. But if it did follow me home from Conneaut, my hope is that it's the little girl that I was playing with. So that was one of the fun parts of that episode, is we had a little dance party with the little ghost girl in one of the stairwells. And, well, I don't want to spoil it for you. Go watch the episode. But we had a lot of fun and got a lot of cool stuff. So, and for the most part, whatever's here, like, we'll yell at it and then it goes away and we don't have anything for a while. So maybe it listens. I don't know. But those are the weird experiences that we've had here in the house and in the apartment since we've been out living on our own. So I don't know if anybody out there who's listening to this or is watching this right now has ever had that experience of living in a haunted place, but it's definitely unsettling when you're not expecting it. And that's the weirdest thing about it. Again, I'm not creeped out to be in my own house. I can be home alone just fine, sleep with the lights off just fine. Like, I have no problem with it, but it's unsettling because it just happens. You're not expecting it. And then I go back to what I said before. It's like, if I was a ghost, I would totally screw with the people that I was haunting. Like, I would screw with them all the time just for my own humor. Not in a bad way, not in a mean way, but I would definitely do little things like that just to kind of troll them, because what else are you going to do? You're a ghost. You're bored. So I don't know. That's my assumption as to what this haunting is. And welcome back for those of you who had the ad break. Apologize for that. Unfortunately, we got to have it because, again, trying to do more ghost hunt stuff. So I don't know. That's my thought. So for anybody out there who's had a similar experience or has lived in a haunted place before, I'm really curious to, you know, share what your experiences are, share what some of your stories are, because I'm very curious. I have used spirit boxes and different tools in the house before. We've done Ghost in the Podcast episodes, actually, where we did a Ouija board. We did a Ouija board session, Jen and I. I don't remember anything really big standing out with that. But I remember the first time I built the portal box and turned it on, like within 30 seconds, the very first thing I got is, "Hi, Scott." We were using a police scanner as our audio, so that was kind of funny. Jen and I just stood up and we stared at each other like, well, we know it works. It's like, not sure if it's something here or something elsewhere, but we know the tool works. So I guess success, I guess? I don't know. Get out of my house. No, I don't think it's ghost lust. I don't think that I'm dealing with ghost lust in my house, pork chop. I'm pretty sure that's not what it is. You got fired before the recession. Yeah, I got fired during the recession. So you feel my pain. That was a bitch of a time. But it worked out. You know, here we are several years later and things are going much better than what they were. At least personally, I can't talk about the grand scheme of everything. So my advice to you, if you're living in a haunted place, is first and foremost, if it's really freaking you out, set the rules and set the boundaries. If you're going to stay here, this is the rules you're going to play by. Otherwise, get the hell out. And if you don't get out, I'm going to force you out. And there's plenty of ways to force people out. There's sage, there's exorcisms, there's blessings, there's shaman rituals, there's pagan rituals, there's all sorts of different things that you can do and look into to get rid of a haunting if you really want to get rid of it. But in my experience, usually if you set down the boundaries and you're really forceful about it, I haven't had any problems with something respecting it. Okay, now let's get into the rant time, because I know this is the what most of my frequent listeners always get excited about is when Scott gets into his rants. All right, so for those of you who want to send emails to the show, please do ghostinthepodcast@gmail.com. You can also hit us up on Facebook, hit us up on Twitter, ask your questions about anything in the world of paranormal, thoughts on horror movies. If you want to know anything about mental health stuff, please feel free to throw it out there. I will do my best to answer every question that we get. But do me a favor, if you're going to send me a message, please let me know your name and where you are from. So that way we can go ahead and, you know, talk about that as well while we're streaming. So the response I want to get to is, and I wrote this down because I want to make sure I get this right. So this came from a guy named Don in Columbus. Is there a winking element to all this that I'm missing? And he's referring to the ghost hunting episodes that I do. As in, maybe I just don't get the joke. I'm all for creative expression, but it seems like you're simply conning people. What's the deal? Is there a winking element to all this that I'm missing? As in, maybe it's I just don't get the joke. I'm all for creative expression, but it seems like you're simply conning people. What's the deal? All right. So let's get into this, because I'm going to steer into controversy. I'm not going to run from it. So what he is essentially getting at is that my episodes, my ghost hunt videos, are a con to people. That I am trying to get something out of people. That I'm trying to make you all look like fools. I'm trying to brace myself really careful because I don't want to get kicked off YouTube or anything else like that. So I'm going to try to curb the swearing. But bear with me. Hopefully you're listening to this and you're adult and the swearing doesn't bother you as much. I understand that when you have people who experience the paranormal or people who are experiencing the paranormal, I get we're all kind of weird. Can we all agree on that? If you're into the world of the paranormal, if you're a horror fanatic like I am, if you're into all that stuff, you're probably freaking weird. Let's just call it as it is. I know I'm weird. I embrace it. I'm cool with it. Whatever. You should too. So I admit that I'm weird. I also understand that there is this idea that spirituality, religion, whatever it is you want to call it, is considered dumb. In a lot of cases, it's fading. Hold on. Let me find a better way to phrase this. So if you look at like world religions, everything like that, like most of them are falling further and further behind in the United States. Like, people are not as religious as they used to be. Spirituality is not considered as something that is as well as embraced as it used to be, because you had the rise of science, the age of reason, so on and so forth. So I get that there's a lot of people out there who are very skeptical about the they see on YouTube, Twitter, TikTok, yada, yada. And I get that, because trust me, I'm just as skeptical of all that stuff. The vast majority of people out there doing this, in my opinion, are full of shit. So I get that. But even if I think they're full of shit, even if I think their shows are not legit, I would never go up to any of them and call them a horrible person for it. Because I don't know you. I don't know anything about you. I don't know what your motives are. I don't know why you're getting into this. I'm not going to call you out for being a terrible person when I don't know what's driving you to this. And the part that eats me, it's like, number one, I'm not charging anybody money to watch any of my content. Everything you see is free for everybody. Everything. The podcast, the ghost hunts, none of that is behind a paywall. The only thing that's behind a paywall, which, by the way, only started recently, is behind the scenes stuff and some additional content that we do just for Patreon. It's all additional stuff. It's not like you're not getting a whole new episode that no one else is going to see. You might get some behind the scenes clip of us goofing around. You might get some behind the scenes stuff of us showing you how some of the equipment works, which, by the by, we do that in our videos as well. But everything else, 99% of what we produce is free for everybody. So why the hell am I conning people? What am I getting out of it? Am I some narcissist who's just sitting here getting his rocks off on the fact that I make people, quote unquote, look stupid? Really? I'm a mental health professional. I'm very open about that. I'm licensed to the state of Ohio. You realize that if I do anything against the code of ethics for being a therapist in any way, shape, or form, that I could lose my license, that I could lose my career that I spent 11 years building, that I could lose the respect of all the different places that want to recruit me? Because believe it or not, I'm getting recruited every single day. I've got five things waiting in my inbox right now trying to get me to jump ship to these other agencies to work as a therapist, a director, or a supervisor, which I'm not going to because I really love where I'm at. And I work for one of the best bosses I've ever had. Doesn't hurt that she's also a really good friend, so I know she's a really good person. But to con people, to put my mental health title on something and say that I'm conning people is not just questioning my character as a person, but it's also questioning my character as a mental health provider. To be a mental health provider, you know what you have to go through to do that job? Let me tell you about some of the experiences that I've had working in the mental health field. Have you ever seen domestic violence? Maybe you have. Have you ever stood there while a grown-ass man points at a baby and calls a dumpster piece of shit? Because your wife, you think your wife is going around, who, by the way, is like tricked out on pills, is going to all the neighborhood people trying to f*** around and try to get pregnant while your 10-year-old, 5-year-old, and 2-year-old are sitting there watching this play out. And you are so overcome with being shocked of what you walked into that you can't even get your together long enough to get the kids out of there. Because I live that. You ever walked up to a little kid in the projects who's hardly ever been around a white guy before, whose first words to you is, "I like blood," and he means it? Because that's his identity, because all the people in his life have put him in a position to be the enforcer and the bully who will go around and challenge an adult to a fist fight just because he tries something to prove about his identity. Ever worked with that? You ever sat down with somebody after they were raped the day after and sit with them doing a crisis assessment to find out if you have to take away their rights and put them in a hospital because you're not sure if they can keep themselves safe? Have you ever had to make that choice? I have, more than once. You ever sat down with somebody who's got an addiction problem, who's crying their eyes out because they want to get their life together and they're tired of being tired, which, oh my God, is that on the bingo card of substance use like anything else? And listen to that same story over and over and over again and know they mean it? You ever sat with somebody after they just cut open their veins and just got patched together and now you've got to do the mental health assessment to figure out what to do with them? I have. You ever have to give CPR to somebody who overdoses on heroin in your office? I have. You ever had to give Narcan to someone? I have. You know how many kids I've worked with who are coming out of the closet being gay or being transgender, being absolutely terrified of what the world is going to treat them or what their families are going to do to them when they find out? I have. I've gone to gay and lesbian alliance groups, had people talking about, you know, all around schools talking about whether or not I'm gay and speculating about me because my child that I'm working with was so scared to go on his own that I decided to be a support and go with him. By the way, I'm a right winger, in case you didn't know, because we all know that, you know, left wingers are the only people that have the ability to care about others, which is a complete farce and bullshit, if you don't mind me getting a little bit of a political rant right here. So you think twice before you ever question my character in anything I do. I am as passionate about the people in the paranormal world and the people who passed away from trauma, who have to deal with all the whatever it is that comes on the other side that we don't know about, just as much as I care about the people right here that I see every day as clients. I've had to be there when clients get ripped away from their parents because Child and Family Services came in because their parents can't get together and they're going to move those kids to foster care. I had to help deal with that. I also had to coach people who were going through that the first time, who walked into it completely unexpectedly on their first day on the job. I've had to sit on the phone with somebody for 2.5 hours who is suicidal and talk them down and figure out where the hell they're at so I could send police to go get them. Don't ever question my heart. Don't ever question my character. So you want to get me mad? Here it is. Here's a legitimate rant, guys. This is not a rant that I'm doing for fun like I usually do. I'm being dead serious. As serious as a heart attack. These are people we're talking about. I'm not milking anything from anybody. I'm not demanding anything from anybody. And if you don't want to believe what I do, fine. I don't care. I don't do this for you. I don't do this for the people watching right now. I don't even do this for the people that ghost hunt with me, who have my back and all the things that we do. I do this for me. And the fact that I want to make my content and make it free for everybody is my choice. So what do I get out of conning people? Where is the enjoyment that I have of making you feel like a goddamn fool because I happen to say that I think ghost is real? How does that even affect you? You don't have to watch the videos. You don't have to look at the Facebook posts. You don't have to follow the social media. You certainly don't have to donate anything willingly to GoFundMe and Patreon and whatever else is out there. No one's putting a gun to your head saying that you have to do everything that I ask you to do. This is all voluntary. No one is saying you have to do this. But here you are, coming out of nowhere, whoever the hell you are, and calling into question what I do just because you have a problem with something. I am not beholden to what you want out of life. I am not beholden to what you think is real and what is legit. And just because you can't understand anything doesn't mean that the person talking to you is full of Tell me, would you ever do that to a rape survivor? And by the way, please call them survivors and not victims. Unless, of course, we're dealing with the paranormal. That's a different story. They're survivors. Let's empower these people. Would you ever say that to somebody who's a rape survivor? Oh, you're just trying to con people. Oh, you're just full of crap. But then I'm sure the comeback would be, well, but believing in the paranormal isn't the same as being a rape survivor. Really? I'm opening up myself to talk about something that I'm vulnerable, that there's a lot of stigma to, that society doesn't accept. Sounds like it has a little bit in common with things of people who are rape survivors. And I'm not just talking women either. I'm talking men. If you're going to have that attitude about other people's experiences and what they feel, then fuck you. You're the problem. And for those who are just coming in, I apologize, you're coming in mid-rant. I'm responding to an email that I got from a listener. I am sick and tired of every day I open up Facebook, I open up Twitter, I open up whatever, and all I see is people going at each other over the stupidest shit. And then you got other people that make these videos talking about how all these other people are stupid and immature. I don't care about you being stupid and immature. Just leave me the hell alone. Don't question my character. Don't accuse me of being something that I'm not. Because until that you do the things that I've done, especially as a mental health provider, then your words don't mean shit. It's like Good Will Hunting. You guys ever see that movie where Good Will Hunting meets Robin Williams' character for the first time and tears his life apart after looking at that painting, talking about how his dead wife and all this shit, and the guy nearly kills him in his office and then goes and gives that great speech down in the park the next day, talking about how you don't know shit, kid, and when I realized that, I finally got a good night's sleep. That's what this was. This is from a guy who doesn't know me. This is from a guy who knows nothing about what we're about. This is a guy, assumedly, who thinks he knows more about the world than he really does. Because only his experience is the one that matters, right? We're not talking about facts. We're talking about experiences. We're talking about opinions. I can't factually say the paranormal is real because I can't conclusively prove it. Nobody can. And anyone who tells you otherwise is full of shit. It's a theory. All of this is theory. There are some things that point to it being possible. I certainly have experienced things that I can't explain. But I can't conclusively say that it's ghosts or something else. I'll be the first to admit that. That's why I do this. I want the answer to that question. Is this legit? And instead of coming at it from the perspective of challenging the experiences or coming up with alternative explanations, your go-to is obviously this person is conning people. Obviously this person is being evil. Go to hell. Like seriously, piss off. You contributed nothing to the grand scheme of what we're trying to accomplish. There are plenty of people watching this show right now, and I know who will listen to this later because I know they're in my personal life, who have serious doubts that the paranormal is real. They have come up with different experiments that they would like me to try to see if this could actually lead to something. And guess what? We're going to try to do that because I don't have the answers to everything. You truly want to be a wise person, not smart. You want to be wise? Then you need to know the one thing that all smart and wise people know, that they don't know everything. And just because some science book, some teacher, some professor told you that this is the way the world is, doesn't mean that that's real. So seriously, anybody out there, if you seriously have a problem with me, if you think that everything I do is a con, even though I'm giving content away for free, all my content for free, then I don't know what to tell you. Why are you still here? If I am that horrible, why are you even listening? How far did you even get in the episode, Don? How far did you even get in the episode to watch it? Or were you just looking at my Facebook posts about what was going on when I was doing a play-by-play while I was at an episode? But you can look at a part of an episode, at a couple posts, and you think you know everything there is to know about me? Tell me, folks, does your post on Facebook encapsulate you? Does one video that you post or like on YouTube encapsulate you? What is it in Good Will Hunting? Do you think that just because I've read Oliver Twist and I know everything it is to know about child abuse and neglect and homelessness because I read Oliver Twist, but you can rip me apart and question my integrity? Please. Please, Don. I would hope to expect better from people like you or anybody out there. I'm never going to ask you to like my stuff. I'm never going to ask you to believe what I do. But just because I do something that you don't like does not make me a bad person. And that's a lesson for all of you out there. I don't care what you do for a living. I don't care what your personal persuasion is. I don't care how you want to live your life. I'm not sitting here judging everybody for everything they do. That's not my role. That's not my job. We need to do better to give people respect, even if we disagree with them. It's that simple. It's that simple. Give people some goddamn respect. You don't have to believe in the paranormal. You don't have to believe my house is haunted. You don't have to listen to this podcast. But you can decide whether or not you're going to talk down to me and treat me like shit. That you can do. And this kind of comment is not a comment that just a typical troll would make. The typical troll post is the other one that I got saying, well, all this shit looks fake. It's like, dude, I know you didn't even watch the episode. That's why I was celebrating on Facebook. Like, we got our first hate mail. Because I knew the guy didn't watch the episode. He had nothing constructive to say other than it all looks fake. Okay. I don't know what to tell you. All I did was say, thank you for watching. Sorry it didn't work out for you. Like, what the hell else do you want me to say? I'm not going to get there and defend every single negative comment I ever get. That'd be impossible. If this ever takes off and we end up being successful like we hope and we can actually make this a thing, like there's going to be people that are going to have a problem with stuff. It's going to happen. Just like in your lives, folks, there's going to be people that are going to have a problem with you, who are going to disagree with you, who are going to think that they know you better than you know yourself. And maybe in some cases that's true. Maybe it is. You spend enough time with somebody, you do get to know them really well. But they're not the ones I'm talking about. I'm talking about the random schmoes you meet in your life. They're the ones I'm talking about. The ones who pop out of nowhere and go ahead and say all these things about you and then disappear as if like their opinion matters. Like you're going to actually see who they are in the next year or so. I can't tell you how many times I've worked with kids that have problems with like getting bullied or problems with getting picked on in school. And they want to fight every single kid that looks at them cross-eyed. You know what the question I ask them? Do you think you're going to see these kids in a couple years? Do you think you're ever going to see them again? You're not. The vast majority of people you went to school with and grew up with, you're never going to see again after high school. Unless you really want to. Unless you want to get in touch with them, you don't ever have to see them. You don't have to accept their Facebook requests. You don't have to accept anything from them. Screw them. And that changes their whole perspective. But that's perspective you got to have, folks. Not everyone in your life that criticizes you is going to be somebody that actually is going to be there whose opinion carries weight. There's going to come a time where you're never going to see these people again. And that's great. You get to surround yourself from people. You know what? I was on Facebook like when it started up when I was in college and Facebook just got started and back then was only for college kids, you know, back in the good old days. Any case. And I started getting friend requests from all these people from high school that I never even liked. And I know they didn't like me. The odds of me actually seeing with you and interacting with you again are very, very small. It's like, I don't have to waste my time on people that are going to just give me a hard time. So that's why I wanted to give this rant. That's why I wanted to get into this tonight. So tell me what you think. Give me your feedback. I want to know. You can even look at this as, is Scott the asshole because of what I'm saying. You open the internet. Well, that's your problem right there. Yeah, that's true, Edge. I did go to the internet and that is my problem. I dared to look at the responses that I got to the various episodes that I do. And well, it happens. So if in the future, folks, if you want to be part of the community and you want to disagree with me, fine. That's not a problem. But now you know, you better not come at me and judge me as if I'm a horrible person just because you disagree with something that I think. Because we're never going to have a civil dialogue. We're never going to have a relationship if that's the case. You might as well piss off now. Because I'm not going to change for you. You are not important enough for me to change. I'm 41 years old, guys. I'm pretty much set in my ways. My wife, my family, and my very close friends, yes, I will change and do things for them because they've earned that. They've earned that right because I have a very, very high level of what I call accountability, respect, and loyalty that I take into account. So I have a very small circle of inner circle of people because I have very high standards. So if you make those standards, you've earned it. And I give you a lot of respect. But if you're going to be part of this community, you better respect me and you better respect each other because I have no problem kicking your ass out of here. All right, so let's switch things up because now I got another question email here and this one's more of the mental health side. So rant over. Sorry that was not an entertaining rant, but at least it was an honest one. So the next question that I got is, do you think people are influenced by the mood by the mood or presence of a spirit? And if so, why or why not? Okay. So do you think people are influenced by the mood or presence of a spirit? Yes, I do. Very much I do. And I also think spirits are influenced by the mood that you bring into your investigation. Very, very, very much so. And here's why. Let me give you my mental health perspective thought on this. And I'm not saying this is right. This is just my theory. Shut up, Edge. Thou shalt not compliment Ben Affleck. That's commandment number two. All right. So I want you to imagine that you go to work and you have a shitty day, or you go to school if you're a kid and you have a horrible day. Puts you in a bad mood. You come home, you're on edge, you're shaking, you're mad, you want to vent. And somebody either drops something on your foot, or they bump into you, or they say something to you that you don't like. What happens? You flip shit. You flip a dick. And then what happens to everybody around you? Anybody ever live in a household where you had somebody that was like really volatile, and whenever they were around, like you could just sense the atmosphere, like you could just feel like almost crackling, like something is just like waiting to go off and cause havoc? That's because when you look at emotions are a type of energy. And when you look at the mental health field, anxiety is where you have a surplus of energy. You have way too much. Depression is when you don't have enough energy, you have way too little. So that's the two extremes. So when you're dealing with spirits, and if my theory of trauma being related to spirits is accurate, then trauma is a type of anxiety disorder. So therefore, there's a lot of energy that the spirits have that are giving off as a result of that trauma, because that emotion is caught in that environment. And there's some depression that goes with that, yes. But typically, trauma disorders are considered an anxiety type of disorder. So that energy gets caught in the environment. That energy is part of the soul, part of what triggers you and keeps you here in the spot. So in the case of the Hotel Conneaut, for those of you that don't know the story, there's a story of a woman who walks around on the third floor whose husband allegedly died in a fire, although historically that's not accurate. So now the current belief is that she's crying because her child drowned in a bathtub in room 321. We'll talk about that in the Hotel Conneaut episode. I'm hoping to have Rex here for that. And when people see her, she's crying and sobbing her eyes out. She's constantly got her face buried in her hands and she's wandering from room to room, or she's sitting in a chair in the middle of the hallway on the third floor crying. So you come across a woman randomly that you don't realize is a ghost who's sobbing her eyes out. What do you feel? Do you feel nothing? Do you feel concerned? Do you feel worried? Do you go up to her and ask her, hey, is everything okay? You ever done that to somebody just randomly? You see somebody at work or somebody that you know at school or whatever who looks like they're having a bad day, and you go up and you try to talk to them, try to cheer them up. Same idea. If a spirit has a type of emotion that they're exuding, you are going to react to that in some way, shape, or form. That's why when you walk into different rooms, even if you're not a sensitive person, spiritually speaking, you can still pick up on whether or not the atmosphere feels calm and whether or not there's something that's kind of that stands out. You can sense that. You can feel that. Same idea with emotions. It's like walking on eggshells because you know there's somebody in the room whose emotions will go off and trigger everybody or disrupt everybody. Same thing when you come into a ghost hunt. If you walk into a building and you have a bad day and you're in a pissy mood, the spirits are going to react to that. They can sense that because your mood is a sense of energy. Spirits can take and use energy in order to manifest and communicate. That's been a long-held belief of the paranormal field forever. So if your mood can be an energy and their mood can be an energy, then what you bring in could impact the type of hauntings you're going to get. So people that experience negative hauntings, one of the first things you need to do is be really self-aware. What is your mood and what is your thought process as you go into this investigation? Are you in a bad spot? If you are, get yourself in a better spot emotionally and cognitively, and then see whether or not your spirits are going to react a little differently to that. That's why Rex and Andrew and I go so far out of our way in our ghost hunts to have a much more positive vibe when we go on ghost hunts. We're not running around doing everything's a demon and everything's like trying to hurt us and beat us up and everything else. And we've been scratched and hit and stuff like that before. It happens. It's not the end of the world. I'm pretty sure I know why it happened. We'll talk about that later. But that doesn't necessarily mean something's evil. What was the energy you brought into the place? What is it you were asking for? What's the story of the spirits that are there? These are people. When you talk about ghosts, when you talk about spirits, you're talking about people. That's the important distinction you got to remember. These are other people. How would you react If someone came into your home and started making a whole bunch of demands of you, what would be your response to that? Somebody walks in. Tell me what your favorite color is. Did you hang yourself? Do you like the fact that we have a black president? Do you like the fact that people like me keep coming in and yelling at you all the time? These are questions I've heard all the time. Poor Prospect Place. There's a bounty hunter who supposedly died out in the barn, which I've gotten his picture of. And people walk around with a noose around their neck and talk shit about this guy like hanging himself or being hung and being murdered or being hanged and being murdered. Because he was a bounty hunter who was looking for runaway slaves. It's like, dude, he was a product of his time. That was his job. They didn't have a 21st century understanding of the world. They had a 19th century understanding of the world. It doesn't make him a bad guy. It makes what he did, you know, probably immoral. Yes, you can make that argument. But that was what the norm was back then. Like, you have to look at things in context of when they happened. So if I'm that guy and I'm stuck in that environment, why would I come out and do anything when everybody who's coming into my room or coming into my home is antagonistic or ask me the same damn question over and over and over again? Oh, my God, shoot me now. I even teach my new therapist, my new case managers this because they have to make treatment plans, which is where they write out what they're going to do with you as a client. If you're the client and you have to sign and agree to it, and they have to write down like what kind of interventions they're going to do. If you put down, like, for example, use role play to teach a skill, that means for the next year, the only thing you can do with that client is use role play. How long do you give that before you and the client both want to shoot yourselves? Same concept. It's the same thing every single day. So when we go on a ghost hunt, we try to do a little bit different. That's why in the Hotel Conneaut 2 episode, we were laughing and telling jokes and doing dance parties and everything else because the hotel is known for having a very positive vibe. The spirits there were supposedly very, very angry and no one knows why. So our thought process is we were already here once and we know there's something here. Let's try to do things a little different and see if we can bring back the positive energy to this place. There's a lot of change going on. There's a lot of disruption. I can understand why people would be uncomfortable with that. So we change our approach and we go in and we do it. And what happens? We end up getting some of the best responses that we've gotten in a very long time. Supposedly from a little girl. Because we did something different that other people don't do. So what you bring to an investigation from an emotional standpoint does impact the spirits and theirs do impact you. And be aware of that. And don't be afraid of that. Steer into it. Try to have some empathy for them. See if they can get some empathy for you. I just as much ask spirits, do you want to ask me anything as much as I ask them a whole bunch of questions? You guys get to see, we typically do like a half hour to an hour long like spirit box sessions or Estes sessions. You guys are seeing like maybe a 5 to 10 minute clip at most. You're just seeing the highlights. There's plenty of response to things that we've got that have never made it to a live show only because we had to cut it for time constraints. We take about 60 hours worth of footage per investigation. By the way, that Rex and I review all that footage, just the two of us. So there's two people going through 60 hours of footage. Now you know why these episodes can take a while. Then we got to put it all together and make sense of it, make a story and put it out there and edit it and all that fun stuff. That's a process, guys. That's a long process. And we're self-taught. We didn't go to school for this. So yeah, I know sometimes the editing looks really bad. Bear with me, guys. I'm figuring this out on my own. I'm trying to pick up new skills now that I'm in my 40s. But all that excuses aside, that's how all the ghost hunts work. So you're not seeing everything. You're just seeing a small window. No, I've never tried to make the toaster dance. But you know what, Edge? I also have not found a river of slime. If I found a river of slime flowing underneath some of the buildings, trust me, I would try to make a toaster dance. And maybe a microwave, although I'd be kind of worried about that. I don't think giving a ghost a potential nuclear device would be a good idea. But you got to admit, it would be fun. Anime about spirits that latch on people's negative emotions and corrupting them. Well, absolutely. That psychiatrist I was telling you guys about before, who is the shaman that I used to work with, fascinating dude. He told me once that he believes that like psychosis, like schizophrenia, things like that are actually a form of like not demonic possession, but negative entity possession. Same with like really severe depression. It's an entity that's latched onto you or some type of spirit that's latched onto you that you can't get rid of. So he's actually done, as part of his practice, his private practice, he's done exorcisms. And he said, the funny thing is he's actually taken video of this with the client's permission and has shown it at different conferences, both for shamans and for psychiatrists. And they were shocked because it's like the person did a complete 180 and never had to go back for mental health services ever again. And I find that fascinating. Now, how legitimate is that? I don't know. I watched the video that he had, the one video he showed me, which was pretty freaking amazing. Could the guy have been acting? Sure. He would have deserved an Oscar if he was. I can't say for certain he wasn't. I can't say for certain that he was, but it was fascinating. You know, I hear sometimes people like, you know what? If you have religious thoughts, you shouldn't do a ghost. You shouldn't be a ghost hunter. And I disagree with that. I think that's the wrong way to look at it. It's not about whether or not you have thoughts of spirituality or religion that are the problem. The question should be, are you open enough to possibilities that you can accept if there's another answer beyond just your religion? Is it possible that there could be an additional explanation? That is what you really have to do, is that open-mindedness. Because if you look at the grand scheme of things, if you look at human history and human civilization, how many different civilizations across the world existed that had some form of religion, some form of higher power, some form of an afterlife? And some of these societies, these communities, never had any communication with each other until like the modern day. So what are the odds that the human experience has that many of the same experiences, or at least something that is very similar in nature? And most of your major world religions have a lot in common. There's a lot of separate. Yes, that's true. But they also have a lot in common. Why is that? Just random chance? Oh, maybe. I mean, I suppose it's possible. But maybe that's also part of the human experience. Maybe the understanding and the feeling of an afterlife is part of what we're supposed to experience. And if so, what possibilities does that open? I think that's the mindset you got to have. So when you go into a ghost hunt, try to have the mindset of being open to possibilities, open to ideas, and just see what happens. If you can prove conclusively that there is an afterlife, but it doesn't quite match up with the religion that you know, what's so bad about that? You still prove that there's something there. To me, that's pretty cool. That's pretty important. That's good stuff. So I don't think you have to not be religious and stay out of the field. I think you just have to learn how to have those beliefs but still be open to other ideas. It's the same thing with your political beliefs. One of the things that I personally believe, if you have a very strong political belief or a very strong ideology or whatever, you would do yourself a favor by hanging out with people that have the opposite thought process. Not because you want to debate them and shame them, although some people out there do, because they've got nothing better to do with their times and their own pride and ego is severely small, but because you should always act like they've got something to teach you. Talking with people that have other ideas and other ways of looking at things can teach you something. Maybe that something is useful. Doesn't mean you have to agree with them. Doesn't mean you even condone what they believe. But it could change some possibilities, could open some doors for you. So if you're smart, that's what you should do. That's why I'm not going to kick anybody out of here who just has a critical thought or another explanation. That's okay. I admit I could have it wrong. I'm confident enough with myself that I can admit when I'm wrong. And you should be too. It's okay to have an open mind. It's okay when you're in a bad mental health state to take a break and step out of an investigation, clear your head, and then come back. It's also okay to know that maybe the spirit is the one that really is going through the rough time. Maybe you need to do a little bit of an empathy session with them. Do an EVP session or a spirit box session where you're asking them some empathetic questions or empathic questions. Nothing wrong with that. Maybe you get a response. Maybe you get something better than just their favorite color. To me, that's pretty cool. So, I don't know, just my thoughts. So, very, very good questions. So, those are the only two questions I had or comments that I had for this week's of emails. Don't forget, if you want to send your email, send them to ghostinthepodcast@gmail.com. You can also send them to us on Facebook and Twitter. You can also put them on the YouTube videos. We will get them and we'll answer them. Rex and Andrew will be coming for occasional episodes here and there. So, if you got some questions specifically for them, throw them out there and I will make sure they get them. I've got a few for them already that have come in. A couple of you keep asking if Rex is single. The answer is yes, and he'll probably kill me for saying that. But ladies, there are other ladies who are interested, so I wouldn't wait too long if you want to make your move on them. Rex, by the way, if this works out, you're lucky and you owe me. So what time is it? We've got, ooh, it's almost 10:30. Damn, I got into a long-ass rant, didn't I? People like that. That's right. Baron the match, or Scott the matchmaker. Welcome to Ghost Relationships, Ghost Chat. Come find your boo with the booze. I know, there's got to be a way I can market this. People are already calling me the Fraser Crane of the paranormal world, and that's okay. I think that's a pretty good compliment. All right, so you know what? Just for shits and giggles, because I want to end on, am I pimping out Rex? Yes, I'm playing Matchmaker, dude. He'll kill me for this, too, if he listens to it. I don't know if he'll actually listen to the episode, though. He could be in chat right now, for all I know. But seriously, Rex, if it works out, you owe me. All right, so I want to look up something here real quick. So we used to do this segment back in the day when we were doing the original show, and it's called Haunted eBay. This is where we go to eBay and we look for items that people are selling that they claim are haunted or have a spirit attachment. And some of them are freaking hysterical. But we also have had some people, myself included, who have bought some of these haunted items. Some of these dolls that you've seen on my my bookshelf over here when we do the interviews for the Ghost Hunt episodes, some of those are haunted items that I either got from estate sales, that I got from paranormal places that I went to, or in one case, one that I did buy off haunted eBay just because I thought it was really cool and nobody else bid on it, so it was real cheap. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to look at some haunted items here. So we are going to look at this real haunted Lucifer Satan statue with great power, powerful altar item, extreme. That's the title there, folks. I'm going to post this in chat for you to look at. So if you're looking for some Lucifer items, this is the potential thing for you. This comes from Phantoms Follow with a 99.5% positive rate. He's got three of these, folks. And actually, I got to admit, the little demon dude, the little Lucifer dude, does look kind of cool. The picture has him sitting in front of a picture of part of a skeleton, and he's sitting on a Ouija board. You got a girlfriend from Vyar's Artemis rant? That's awesome. Edge, I'll have to hit you up off stream to find out how that went. That's pretty cool. All right, so this is what the person wrote about this haunted Satan statue. And again, the statue is pretty cool looking. First time ever experienced real paranormal activities in my life after the statue arrived. Door opened wide twice in one morning. Twice, everybody! Twice in one morning! That shit just doesn't happen. When there was no big wind in home. I'm going to read that again. Door opened wide twice in one morning, comma, when there was no big wind in home. Third day, comma, two of my religious vessels got flipped facing down on the altar. Never this happened before statue arrived. The activities shows power. Authentic is the word to describe this seller's items. Thanks. So with this wonderful example of the English language being butchered, I got to admit, it's a pretty cool looking statue. I don't know about door opening itself twice in one day. I would kind of look for more evidence of a haunting than that, but I'm also experienced. This person clearly is not experienced with English, let alone haunted stuff. So you can have this statue for $99. You can buy it now. There are two still available. All right, there's more. Item description. Real haunted Lucifer Satan statue, great power, powerful altar item. I've had two of these returned and the persons didn't even want any money back. Just wanted out of their house because the activity was so much. So if you want something that's haunted, this is for you, but could come with a price to pay. Demons don't play. They start out pretending to be innocent and all of a sudden hell breaks out. Buy at your own risk. I am a powerful warlock and the most legit seller on eBay. You know he's legit when he says most legit. He is too legit to quit, ladies and gentlemen. If you're a beginner, keep scrolling. This isn't for you. Follow my YouTube, blah, 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 blah. So here you go. And he's got feedback from some of the other ghost items that he sold. Doll came safely packaged with care, fast delivery, fast communication, recommend buy. Although I gotta wonder, he mentions in his description that other holy items on the altar when flying. How many other holy items are you putting on an altar? Next to a Satan statue. It seems kind of awkward. Or like Buddha and Satan kind of sitting there being pals. I kind of want to see that. I'm not going to lie. It's kind of an intriguing visual. Or like a Jesus statue and Lucifer. But I assume they know each other. I assume those two have crossed paths at least once, considering who their father is. But anyway, that is our first haunted item. Buy at your own risk, ladies and gentlemen. But I got to admit, the statue is pretty cool looking. Fire sale. Real haunted item paranormal. And it's a picture of a girl with a balloon. A painted picture. It looks okay. if you don't mind a very blurry photo of it. So this is from The Witching Hour, who on the bright side has 100% positive rating. She only has three auctions, or he only has three auctions that have ever been done. But it is 100%, so 3 for 3 is a pretty decent batting average. That's a pretty good start for a rookie baseball player. So for $69.99, and there is one bid on this real fire sale haunted picture. I'll put this in chat. It is a bitchin' looking statue, isn't it? So free shipping for this particular item, if you want it. Fire sale, everything old must go for our exciting new artifacts. Buy multiple items and take advantage of our free shipping. Haunted signed oil painting by Sardi. No idea who that is. Very active in all capitals. Item spirit attachment sighting. This vintage oil painting by Sardi is as rare as you can find. One of a kind and haunted. This painting is going to be awesome addition to your collection. The spirit attachment is positive and has protection power, offering the owner spiritual benefits. Wink, wink. I may have added the wink. This unique piece of art will help enhance your spiritual journey and open doors into the spiritual realm. Only you can find a way to make you feel better and more successful in your life. This painting will fill your life with positive energy and experiences. Open your mind and expand your knowledge with a powerful work of art. So the good news, ladies and gentlemen, is if you wanted to buy that Lucifer statue, you could then potentially cancel out the horribleness of that haunting by buying this painting and letting those two spirits go at it. You could do a spiritual fight club from the comfort of your own home, all for the low, low price of what I think is about $180 if you count shipping for the statue. So if you want to have basically your version of Bum Fights, the DVD, for those of you who remember that fiasco from when, you know, many, many, many years ago, you can have Spirit Fights sponsored by the Ghost in the Podcast in your own living room. Please record them, although I doubt you're going to get much of a recording. So there you go. If you're interested, The Witching Hour, 1969, 100% positive with 3 prior auctions and a very, very blurry picture of this photo. There was a Ring and Grudge crossover movie. So Shuclear says, like, wasn't that the plot of the Ring and Grudge crossover? I didn't even know there was a crossover movie. Did those two fight? Yeah, it's awful. Oh my God, that's hilarious. Got several bottles of whiskey. My spirits are covered. Damn right. Become a very big fan of bourbon myself. Sadako versus Kayako, I'm probably not pronouncing those right, is the title. That's hysterical. Wow. Two girl spirits slapping the shit out of each other. That's actually got to be kind of funny. I wonder if there's hair pulling. I don't mean that to be derogatory. It's just like, how would two ghosts, like, how would they fight? Would they show, like, would they throw, like, energy beams at each other? And if they did, why didn't they use that to kill their victims in their movies? Like, I don't know, like, Freddy versus Jason, I can see that because they're actual physical entities. Like, you can see that. But ghost fighting? I don't know. Like, that was all said in jest. I didn't realize that was actually a thing. So for those of you that are looking to get on your spiritual fight club, apparently this is a thing that you can do, but do it at your own risk. And if you end up getting possessed or a ghost ends up punching you in the face, don't blame me, folks. I told you to do this at your own risk. If you get hurt, it's on you. All right. Don't blame me. All right. Let's do one more. I'm having fun with this. All right, that one's blessed by a priest. That one's not as fun. Let's go with this one. Real haunted dolls, an enchanted item, Bozo the Clown telephone. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, for the low, low, low price of $80 plus shipping and handling from the same guy as our first item. He is selling a Bozo the Clown phone that is supposedly haunted. Let's find out how it's haunted. Real haunted doll, enchanted item, Bozo the Clown haunted? Question mark. What a awesome item to add to your Bozo the Clown collection. This Bozo phone is in great shape, almost like new. That's it. Really? Really? We get two explanations for the really cool Satan statue and Bozo only gets one sentence? And there's nothing even mentioning about being haunted. I mean, it's horrifying and ugly to look at, but that's just clowns in general. Like, it's nothing against Bozo personally. Like, I don't know, at least could, like, speculate whether or not it sucked the kid down into a well and ate him or something, like, you know, Pennywise. Like, that'd be something. This clown phone may or may not eat your child. Buy at your own risk. Like, that would be an attention getter. I don't know about you guys, but if I was buying haunted items, I would be tempted to buy something that would eat a child. Don't judge me. You all are in the same boat. I'm just honest enough to admit it. It better be another Skybeam. Another Skybeam, like another Marvel movie. All right. So that's Haunted eBay. We'll be doing those a little more often. I love doing that. It's funny to see what people will try to sell. But I do have haunted items here. I try to get haunted items from every place that we go to. Not every place is willing to give you anything. It is what it is. All right, so we are just past 10:30, so I think it's time to start wrapping this baby up. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you all for watching, but before we go too far, I want to throw out a special thank you to Kelly, Courtney, Anonymous and Anonymous, Neil, Mike, Dave, Scott, and Michelle for being our GoFundMe donators. Because of you guys, we are now able to afford the first two of the 12 episodes that we want to film. And we are looking to do a couple locations in Indiana. We're looking to get those set up for March. So pretty soon. But I want to give you guys a very special thank you very much for donating. For those of you who are interested in helping us do more ghost hunts and create more free content for all of you, you can go over to our GoFundMe. I will post a link here in the description so you can go there and find it. You can also subscribe to Patreon if you want to get some free stuff. We only have one sub level, and that's $10 a month, and you get all sorts of free shit. We're looking to add more if people are interested, but we don't want to overwhelm anything. The only reason we created the GoFundMe is because some people didn't want to do a subscription. They just kind of want to do a one-time thing, and that's fine. If you don't want to help out that way, that's fine. Just like and subscribe to the YouTube channel. Leave us a comment on the videos. Let us know what you think. Give us your feedback. And those are all ways that you can try to help us grow this into being something. Because again, we want to make this, we're following our passion. We want to make this a bigger deal. We want to make this something that we can do potentially that is self-sustaining. So that way we can, again, make more content, because making content's a lot of fun. I don't know about you guys, but it's a lot of fun for me. I love doing this shit. So that's it, guys. Thank you for listening very much. If you got topics, suggestions, questions, again, send them ghostinthepodcast@gmail.com. You can hit us up on Facebook. You can message us in our private Discord. You can also send it to us on the Twitter. However you want to do it, we are willing to listen, and we'll do some stuff with it. And that's it, guys. I will see you next week. Don't forget, every Thursday at 9 o'clock, we will be doing another live Ghost in the Podcast right here on Twitch. Possibly we'll be doing it over on YouTube as well. We're going to try to simulcast. And yeah, so if you ever do a hunt in the Dayton area, we can try to find the aliens at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base too. Yes, and supposedly Wright-Patterson Air Force Base is also very, very, very haunted. So I'm not against doing that. We'll have to look into it. But that's everybody. Thank you for watching, and we'll see you next time. And remember, if someone asks if you're a god, say yes. All right, take care, everybody.